I try to remember to be that way, and not, even if I'm not having the best of days, I try not to take that attitude. Even if the person that is waiting on you has the attitude. You ever had that happen? I mean, you might think, well, they're not being very nice, but you know what? We're the ones who are supposed to be setting the tone. Amen? Amen. We're the ones supposed to be doing that. So, hallelujah. God is good. Well, I want to share a word with you. Probably earlier in the week, this week, even before all the Thanksgiving celebrations, the Lord began to speak to me some things as I baptized my Bible. But anyway, the Lord began to really speak to me about the coming year. I don't know, you guys have heard a lot of things. You know, it's pretty easy to, well, what's the new year? 2020. Okay, we need to have 2020 vision for 2020. You know, and I've heard that 100 times already. But yet that's true. At any time in our lives, we need to see clearly. Amen? And Jesus said, when he spoke at the end of the times, he said there would be tribulation, but he said, but do not fear, I have overcome the world. Amen? But then he says this, he said also, the Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom of God. He's chosen gladly to give us his glorious kingdom. And when you think about that, you start to understand that the Father, how many of you love to give gifts to others? And you love this, especially children, right? Or someone has a real need and you're meeting that need. It's wonderful. And it's not so much that you want to know that they recognize that you even gave it to them. It's just to see their expression and to see their face, right? Now think about this. Your Father, your Daddy, Abba, he takes great joy in giving you the kingdom. It brings him great joy. And there's a joy when the angels came declaring Jesus' coming and his birth, it was about joy. It was joy to the world. And obviously, so the gift was Jesus, right? Hello? He was the gift. And we tend to kind of leave him in a manger. Even this time of year, we put him back there. Newsflash, he's not there. And he's not even walking in the earth in a human vessel anymore, except to you and me. We're his vessel now in the earth. And so we start to understand there's so much about the beauty of him and all that he has for us. And so I just want to share some things with you today that I think will be helpful. And maybe the opening passage may seem a little odd to you in relation to this, but I really feel like this is a prophetic time for us as a church. And I'd like to go to 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. I want to begin there. And I hope by the time I finish, it'll make sense. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 13. I'm going to begin with verse number 14. Now when Elijah became sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him. Now look what he says. He says, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. Everybody make note of that. If you have your Bibles, underline it. My father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen. And Elijah said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. How many know? Prophets speak very frankly and very exact, right? Hello? He's got through honoring him for the power of his prophetic ministry, and it's just like he immediately says, take a bow and arrows. And then he took the bow and arrows, and he said, put your hand on the bow, and he put his hand on it, and then Elijah laid his hands on the king's hand. Everybody got that picture in your imagination? Okay? Then he said, open the window toward the east. Obviously, toward the east was where his enemy was. And he opened it. And then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram. For you will defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have destroyed them. But he wasn't through with this prophetic experiment. Are y'all ready? Then he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. Everybody say, strike the ground. And he struck it three times, and then he stopped. So the man of God was angry with him, and he said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Aram until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only three times. Very interesting. If the Lord gives you something to do, if anything, overdo it. Amen? Don't fall short. Amen? Have you ever seen in a prize fight where the guy is really doing well, and he's got the guy on his heels, so to speak, but he doesn't finish him? You know what I'm saying? He doesn't finish him, and a lot of times that fighter that was down and out makes a comeback, right? Because you didn't finish him. Because guess what? If you don't finish him, when your bell rings for the next round, you got to go fight him again. And again and again. Are y'all with me? And it's like the prophetic man of God said to the king, he said, oh, if you would have just had some tenacity about you. And I was meditating on that. I said, Lord, what in the world is this dude tying into the vision for the church going into the new year and Christmas and all of that? And I hope that I would make sense of it for you today and help you with that today. Because I really feel like it's a theme God has for us. How many would agree with me? We need prophetic vision. We need revelation, because without it, we what? We perish, right? We perish without it. Here's the thing. We need a target. He didn't say, go outside with your arrow and fire it into the air and see if you hit something. That's the way a lot of people prophesy. Just like a buckshot. To see, maybe I'll hit something. But he said, I want you to aim it. And how many know we need prophetic aim? Y'all, stay with me now. This is important. We need to have that. But we also have to have a diligent spirit. There has to be a tenaciousness. To just do the prophetic action of firing the arrow was not going to be enough. And there's a tenaciousness that you and I need to have. What did Jesus say? He said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence against it, but the violent take it by force. Now, we know that's not a physical violence, obviously. Okay? It's a spiritual violence of faith and spiritual warfare and understanding how do we get to the victory. This passage also speaks powerfully. And I know you've heard me say this a lot. I don't care if you pray a prayer to receive Jesus, or you get hands laid upon you, or you get baptized in water, or anything you do, prophetic actions are very, very powerful. Amen? They launch your faith. And that's why they're so powerful. But they in and of themselves is not the secret. The victory wasn't because he fired an arrow, but it was a prophetic understanding of what he was doing. It was an action that he took that brought him the victory. Are you with me? So it's very important that we understand that. And it can get confusing. And here's the thing I've learned in studying the Bible. If you read 1st and 2nd Kings about the spirit of Elijah, you see Elijah and Elijah, you notice there's all kinds of prophetic actions. Remember he took the axe head, he threw it in the water, and it floated. I mean, you see these kind of things all through the Word of God. You see them in the book of Acts. You start to kind of understand some things. And you always have to have something that dramatic, but there's something God wants to do to bring us into that. And prophetic actions, first of all, give you prophetic vision. They give you prophetic direction, but they also lay out for you prophetic warfare. Amen? Vision, say it, vision, direction, and warfare that is before us. Now, I love all the prophetic promises about Jesus that refer to his coming, his first coming, his birth, right? His coming, being born of a virgin, all of these things. I really love those verses. They're very, they remind me of them every year, especially this time of year. But I want you, when you hear them this year, and you're listening to Christmas songs, and you're hearing Christmas messages, I want you to think of them prophetically, because you can kind of go, well, what in the world does that have to do with me now, 2,000 years later? You know, what does a baby born in a manger and a virgin, what does this all speak to me? But can I tell you something? The prophetic words about Jesus speak to us today. And I want to show you a couple of them. Can we look this morning? Let's go to where it first began, and it began with the prophetic promises made by Isaiah. Turn me to Isaiah 7 and verse number 14. You know this one very well. Now, this was spoken, by the way, about 750 years before Jesus was born. Just think about that for a moment. 750 years ago, before Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. Are you with me? This was prophesied. And let's look at it together. Therefore, the Lord himself, Isaiah 7:14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Say a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And do we know what that means? God with, and I say that together, God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. Now, you might say, well, he's no longer with us. Well, he's no longer a baby in a manger either. And he's no longer a 30-some-odd-year-old man walking around doing miracles, displaying the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen? He is seated at the right hand of God. He has been victorious over the enemy. But can I tell you, he, by the Holy Spirit, is still God with us. Amen? So he is still Emmanuel to us. Are y'all getting that? In fact, he told his disciples, he said, it's actually expedient for you that I go away. It's actually going to be better for you in the body of Christ that you, your relationship with me is going to be through my spirit. And that's how we're going to relate together. Amen? Because there's no way anybody on the planet that was born again and redeemed could follow one man around. So it had to be this way, right? Okay, y'all still there? How many of you believe he's still God with us? Here's the part where I don't think we quite believe it, because we would say, oh, if we could have just been with him in the flesh. And Jesus actually said to his own disciples, it's going to be better for you guys that I go away. It's getting ready to get better. I'm getting ready to ratchet this thing up. Because I'm going to be Emmanuel with you even when you're not around me physically. Amen? I'm still going to be Emmanuel. And if you read the book of Acts, you see that. The dynamic of Jesus with them is already there. Okay? Now, let's go a couple chapters over in Isaiah, to Isaiah 9. Look at verse 2 with me. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their what? Say it, their gladness. And they will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Couple things on those two verses. First of all, when his light shines on you in darkness, he brings you from darkness to light, right? He brings you from blindness to seeing. Amen? He brings you from a place of not having a clue to having revelation. And that's the beauty of what happens. Because if you're sitting in darkness, the only answer is for him to come and shine his light upon you. Amen? How many of you glad he shined his light upon you? That's what he came to do. But I want you to bring another thing to your attention. It says his people will multiply and that gladness will increase. Notice that. And notice there's two ways it increases. Number one is in his presence. How many of you glad for the joy of his presence? The gladness that his presence brings, right? But there's also another part that I think much of the church today, and I'm not just saying Freedom Gate, but much of the church today I think is missed out on, and that's the gladness that comes with harvest. Everybody say harvest. Because remember, he says, it's going to multiply. It's going to grow. Amen? It's going to grow. It's going to multiply. And there's a gladness with his presence, but I'm telling you, there's also a gladness with his harvest. In fact, the Bible says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner converting and repenting than over 99 righteous ones gathering together. Now, it doesn't say he doesn't have joy over us gathering together in his presence, but the greatest of joy, even in the heavens, is when people are brought to the Lord. Everybody say increase. Come on, say increase. And with that, there's a level of gladness. Interestingly, some of the words that were shared, Derek, you shared about the baby. The babies bring joy. Why? Really, a baby is about increase, right? It's an increased blessing. The reward, the fruit of the womb is a reward. Amen? Hello? And so you start to see that with increase. How many of you know when people are being born again in the house of the Lord and people are coming to know Jesus, that brings great gladness, an increase of gladness into the house of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. I love you guys, but I wish there were more of you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now look at verse 6 in that same chapter. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called, say the names with me, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. How many love those names? Those are awesome names that describe the child, Emmanuel. Are you with me? There will be no end to the increase. Say that with me. No end to the increase. Again, no end to the increase of what? Look what it says. Of his government or of peace. On the throne of David over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. And I love this part. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. If the Lord is zealous about something, then his angels are also very zealous about it. Because he's referred to more in the Bible than any other title as the Lord of hosts. The Lord of the angelic army. Not today, but Derek told me, we don't have time today, but Derek shared with me yesterday about a time, you were 8 years old, and he had fallen into a cactus. And I mean, with the big, I mean, he was in bad shape. And they're taking him, and he's crying in the back seat, and he told his mom later, your mom or your dad, he told him later, he said, well, who was that person in the back seat with me? And did you tell me they were dabbing, and the pain would go away. And there was nobody in the back seat with him. Hello? Hello, there was nobody in the back seat with him. But yes, there was somebody in the back seat with him. And then an angel, anyway, I wanted to try to tie that in today, but I thought, well, maybe as we get closer to Christmas, I'll tie that in. But anyway, now I've already let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. But here's what I want you to see. He zealously is going to establish, increase, and uphold his everlasting kingdom. And he's going to do it with zeal. Amen? Hallelujah? Now, go over with me now, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and I want to begin reading verse number 1. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not, notice this, it was not in what? Persuasive words of wisdom. But in what? Is the verse on the wall? Huh? That's the wrong one. It was 1 Corinthians 2. Oh, okay, that's okay. Y'all just listen. His words were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. Everybody pay attention. He doesn't want your faith to rest on just being convinced and persuaded. He wants your faith to rest on the power of God. Amen? That's why it's important for us to understand that we need to bring a generation into an encounter with the power of God. Amen? Hallelujah. By the way, that's 1 Corinthians 2. Have you been able to pull it up? There you go. So your faith will not rest on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. Let's keep going. Yet we do not speak words among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Keep going. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Keep going. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they'd understood it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, and here's the verse we quote all the time. Let's say it together. Things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Keep going. For to us, God revealed them through what? The Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. God is deep. Amen? You ever heard somebody say that? You know God's deep. Well, I got news for you. God is deeper. And deep is calling unto deep today. Amen? His Spirit wants to show us and reveal to us things, and you could never fathom the fullness of the depths of God. Amen? And he's got things for us as we move forward in this hour. I'm telling you, even with something like the Christmas story or things that we so typically have heard all of our lives, if you have your eyes and ears open, you will hear and gain revelation of things you never saw before. Amen? Amen? He wants us to see. He wants us to dream. He wants us to have vision. You believe that? And can I tell you, we can see, we can dream, and we can have visions because we have the Holy Spirit. Think about it. The Holy Spirit was the creative power of the universe. He brooded over the nothingness of the earth. And then when God would speak, that brooding power caused whatever God spoke to come into being. Amen. Let there be light. And guess what? There was light. And we have that same power, the Holy Spirit, that framed the worlds, abiding in our hearts. Amen. And I believe he just so wants to open us up into the depths of God like we've ever known. Hallelujah. Jesus called him the helper, who's come to help us, the comforter. We too, I believe with all my heart, we are called to demonstrate the Spirit and power of God to our generation. Yes. I'm convinced of that. If I thought we could just reason people into believing in Christ through, you know, proper hermeneutics and all the various things and trying to convince people through their minds, here's the thing, you don't believe with your mind. Believing is from the heart. Amen? Now, he'll renew your mind and he'll work on your mind. But you got to first believe it with your heart. How many of you know, many of you didn't have any understanding of what it meant to be born again and what it meant to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and what it meant to have some of those things happen or even why am I getting in this water? But now later, you may gain some revelation of what God did in your life through that act. Amen. But see, a lot of people want to have that first. But when you persuade somebody, when it gets hot in the kitchen, they use a bolt. But when you've encountered God in a powerful way, and I believe we're gonna, this generation, it's going to have to be things like that to win them. Amen? Like never before. Because so much emphasis is put on the wisdom of men and persuasive words to try to convince people. Here's the thing. Jesus is the foremost of all the gifts. He is the gift. Would you agree with me? And he's multifaceted. He's multifaceted. We've talked about, have you received Jesus? Oh, yes. I prayed the prayer of salvation. I'm going to heaven when I die. They haven't taken the bow off yet.
There you go.
There's things within this multifaceted gift of Jesus that I believe we're responsible to bring to a generation to experience. Amen? And that we ourselves would also, because see, I can't freely give something I've not freely received myself, right? So when I freely receive it, then I can begin to freely give it. And I believe that's why God wants to call us into deeper encounters like never before. Amen? These men that denied him and ran and tried to fly the coop and avoid everything, even after 3.5 years, they were totally different when they encountered the Holy Spirit. They were not the same guys anymore. Now they stand, and that same Peter that denied him before the servant girl by the fire stood and preached, and 3,000 people gave their hearts to Christ. Hallelujah! And the rest is history as we know. But he has chosen us, and he's appointed us to bear fruit. Amen? And how many of you like to see this fruit that remains? Some fruit that remains. I mean, to reach out, touch people, bring the power of God to people, and have fruit that remains. Because see, God doesn't want us touching people, and then we don't have any clue even what they're doing anymore. Something, we have to learn how to do that. And bring that into that place that God has for us. His kingdom's dominion and the power of the Holy Spirit is what many people have never seen or experienced. And that's what God called us to be an instrument of. Now, let's look at the verse about the helper that Jesus taught in John 14:16. John 14:16. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now that means I'm going to ask the Father, and it's one like unto me. Okay? He said, basically Jesus is saying, I've been your helper, I've been here with you, but I'm going to ask the Father, he's going to send another. And his name is, he'll be called the helper. He is the helper, he is the Holy Spirit. I just came up with a new word. Anyway. He is the Spirit of Truth, that he may what? Be with you forever. Say forever. The Spirit of Truth, now get this, the world cannot receive him because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Now that is not referring to the second coming. There is a second coming. Jesus will come again. Amen? But this is referring him coming to us in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Am I clear? Very important. So that's what he meant by saying you won't be an orphan because you will have my Spirit within you. Now I've got to read the whole context for you to help you. Let's, where did I stop? What verse did I stop on? He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And after a little while, the world will no longer see me. Now notice that. The world will not be able to see me. Everybody know why? Because he won't be here in the flesh. Hello? You don't see him today in the flesh like they were seeing him. And so he's trying to help them understand that. I mean, that had to be hard for them. For 3.5 years, they followed this man around. They saw everything. Whether they had any insight or not, they saw it. Because he was there in the flesh, right? So he said, the world will no longer see me. Of course, this confused them. But you will see me, he said. And because I live, you will live also. And in that day, you will know, get this, that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Do y'all see that? He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And will what? Please get this. Disclose myself to him. I've been praying lately. I say, Lord, I want full disclosure. Anybody with me? Lord, disclose yourself to me. You know, John probably thought he knew him, wouldn't you say? He was the beloved disciple who would place his head on Jesus' chest. Amen? He was close to the Lord. He called himself the most loved disciple in his own gospel. But he was close to the heart of God. And yet, how many of you know in the book of Revelation, he saw Jesus in a way he had never seen Jesus before. Right? Because he was seen and glorified. And you know what? I believe with all my heart, he wants to reveal himself to us in mighty ways that will change us forever. Amen? That will transform us forever and change us forever. And how we're going to live this life on the earth. Amen? To fall in love with him and to come into a place of awe and worship like we've never known. Amen? Hallelujah. You don't even have to ask anybody to hit the deck and bow down. They'll just do it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know, that full disclosure. Oh, Lord, show yourself to me. Now, Judas, not Iscariot, the one who betrayed him, Judas said to him, he said, Lord, what then has happened? Because he was confused. He asked him another question, right? He said, what has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Obviously, Judas wasn't getting it. He wasn't understanding that, you know, the reason you're going to be able to see me and they're not going to be able to see me is because you're going to have the Holy Spirit, right? So this is a spiritual thing, right? Or let's say deep things. Come on. Okay. And Jesus answered and said to him, get this, it's so powerful. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we, and I say we, will come to him and what? Make our abode with him. Everybody look at me. We become God's house. Amen? Through the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son dwell in us and with us. Isn't that powerful? Hallelujah. Talk about victory. Talk about triumph. Talk about overcoming. Hallelujah. He's within us. So a lot of times we pray things that are really not very accurate. We're asking for things to happen, and yet he's just saying, I'm just asking you to let me out. Hallelujah. I'm there. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Can I tell you today? He is still Emmanuel, God with us. In fact, if you can handle this, he's more with us today than he was when he came and was a baby in a manger. He's more with us today by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we must nurture that relationship with him through his word and the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's how it happens in our lives. And I believe with all of my heart, God wants us to fully unwrap the gift that is Jesus. Amen? Not just pull the bowl and a couple of ribbons off, peel back the paper, and look and see what it says on the box. It's slide it aside, like your kids do when they realize it's closed. Right? But he wants us to unfold the beauty of what he has for us. I believe with all of my heart, if we're going to have 2020 vision in 2020, anybody want to have that? I believe if we're going to have that, we must first, everybody say first, see, magnify, and exalt Jesus. We need to see Jesus, magnify Jesus, and exalt Jesus in every area of our life. Because, beloved, the harvest isn't going to happen because we convinced them somehow to think this is such a cool room to come meet with us. The harvest is going to happen because we have a reality of the fact that his abode is with me when I leave this room of worship and I go out into the world. Amen? To take Christ to the world like never before. I love what it says in Corinthians. I quote this one to you all the time. He always leads us in triumph. Amen? And I love this. And he manifests through us the sweet aroma of his fragrance, the knowledge of him in every place. The King James says, we diffuse his fragrance everywhere we go. I love that. You know, diffusers are very popular now, right? You know, to do the essential oils and all of that and fragrances and things like that. You know, you got these diffusers that people use. But how many of you know a diffuser that has nothing in it is just a device? What makes a diffuser special is what's inside that diffuser, right? And of course, the fact that the diffuser is actually engaged and functioning. And we need to begin to be filled with God and then begin to function as his diffusers. Amen? And release his fragrance. Because he wants to release his fragrance in every place. Amen? Hallelujah. Anybody want to be faithful to do that? And you know what I think that means for us? I think it means we're to be his voice. We're the voice of God. I believe we're to be the touch of God. You know that's true? We're to be the touch of God. We're to be the release of the power of God. After all, Jesus said, I'm the head. You, church, are my body, right? So I believe we start to understand that what people need to hear, what people need to feel, what people need to experience, the love they need to know and understand, the encouragement, it has to come through us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think there's a place on the earth that's off limits to what God wants to do. There's not a place on the earth that's off limits. Which means you and I have to live the lights on. Hello. You don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel, right? You light your lamp and you keep your lamp lit. Hallelujah. Don't turn it off and go outside and get in your car. Keep your light lit. Hallelujah. Walk in covenant with the Spirit upon you and what? His word in your mouth. Walk in covenant. And always have your eyes open for the potential for harvest. I've been asking God to help me with that. And my prayers of late has been this. I said, Lord, I want to get to a place in my life. I'm just going to share it openly with you guys how I feel. I want to be at a place in my life where not a day goes by that I don't lead somebody to Christ. Which means I've got to be a diffuser at Home Depot. I've got to be a diffuser at Fry's. Are you with me? I've got to be a diffuser to my neighbor walking the cans out to the curb at the same moment. I've got to be someone who's just living with the lights on. Anybody want to live like that? I'm serious. To be able to live like that. Because I believe there's a gladness of harvest that if we're never going to know the fullness of this gladness until we know the gladness of harvest. You with me? What if we all were continually leading people to Christ? We'd probably be worshiping in the parking lot. Because it wouldn't fit in here, right? And I believe that's what God has for us. So I want to challenge you with that vision for the coming year. To live on go, to live on mission. To be led by the Holy Spirit. How many of you must be led by the Spirit? How many of you ever heard of some evangelistic techniques and things that seem very, very mechanical and robotic? Hello, we've all been there, right? I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Because the reason that's important, what does that look like? Well, here's something you have to remember. Sometimes we sow, and sometimes we reap, right? Sometimes we're planting seed, and then other times, how many of you love it when you get the opportunity to pick the fruit off the tree that somebody else planted and invested in? And then you got the opportunity to bring them into the Lord. Amen? Doesn't make sense, everybody. And so as we go forward, sometimes, I mean, you know, sometimes no matter how much you're shining, you need to wait for an opportune time. It's not going to be that moment necessarily. You've got to have the wisdom of God. And there are also times when the Lord would say to us, just as our Lord said, don't cast your pearls before swine. There's just times you just keep it to yourself. Again, we're not mindless robots. Have you ever seen those automatic vacuums? They go through the house and they hit the wall and they turn. They go down, hit the refrigerator, they turn. Some people, that's the way they do evangelism. They just keep running in the walls hoping they're going to hit something. And they are hitting something. But God didn't want us to be like that. Amen? You got to take a sigh of relief. But I'm not asking you to go out and be something like that. We've seen that. But can I tell you this, and please, just bear with me, let me share my heart. Paul told the Romans, he said this, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. We can't be ashamed of the good news that we have, right? For it is what? The power of God to him who believes it. Now, I no more than Paul can control who's going to believe it or not believe it, but I can't be ashamed of the message. Are you still with me? And he goes on to say, we know the verse, therefore I am what? Eager to preach the gospel to you. So Paul was eager, and we agree. But we also read in the book of Acts, in about chapter 15 or 16, I think it's chapter 16, that when he came to Asia, get this, the Holy Spirit forbade him to preach. And then the next verse, it said he went over to Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit again forbade him to preach. And then that night at Troas, Paul was asleep and had a dream. And in the dream, a man from Macedonia was saying and beckoning unto him, Paul, come to us and help us. And he knew that was his open door. How many want to keep your eyes open like that? When you know the Holy Spirit has set up a divine appointment, a divine moment, maybe with a person or a church or a ministry or whatever it may be. Now, obviously, this is an apostolic ministry going to nations, but I believe it can work in everyday life. Amen? And he can open doors for us and show us opportunities to reach people. Amen? Some ministries call it like doing treasure hunting, where the Spirit shows you something in advance, and then you go there, and God uses it to lead that person to the Lord or heal their body or whatever. Amen? How do we want to live like that? I mean, that's the way to live life. Amen? And that's what I believe God's called us to do. The Holy Spirit will lead us and prompt us. But can I say this to you, respectfully? And this is where the Holy Spirit really began to get my attention about this, because I truly am a pastor in heart, and I'm a teacher, and I'm an equipper and trainer, and that's what I love to do. But I also want to be more effective as an evangelist. You with me? And I know mainly my ministry is to believers that are, people are already believing. But I realize, you know, that God wants me to be more fruitful in doing the work of evangelism also. Here's the thing. How many would agree with me that the Holy Spirit would be faithful to give you that nudge? Right? He'd give you that nudge to share something or give you a word of knowledge for somebody. Right? Or you see somebody in pain, you meet their need or whatever, and you share Jesus with them. And how many know He would give you those nudges along the way, right? To maybe, like as Melody shared, to speak to that cashier and share comfort and exhortation with him. And let me just say something to you today. He will do that, but He can't give nudges to people who aren't eager to share. Hello? Why would He nudge me if I'm just going to be a mute and not say anything and not reach out and not love, right? Here's the thing. You can't steer something that's not moving, right? Anybody ever get in your car, when your father's car when you were little, and pretend you were driving? Hello? Nobody ever did that? Maybe all the boys did it. We just sit there and I make the sound of an engine. I wasn't going anywhere. Here's the thing. You can't steer that car if it's not moving. And I believe that the body of Christ, especially in the Western world, and let's just go on and say at the Freedom Gate, the Lord would say, you got to get it out of park and give it some gas. And if you will, the Holy Spirit will be a perfect GPS. Amen? But we got, how many know, we got to have that eagerness of heart and be bearers of good news and joy unto those around us. Amen? Amen? Prophetic people don't only speak, they move. Now that's worth the price of admission right there. Prophetic people don't only speak, they move in the direction of that word. Hallelujah. And we need to grab hold of that. Every one of us who are redeemed, who believe in Him, can live as one of His diffusers of His fragrance. And I believe with all my heart, that is who God wants us to be in this coming year and moving forward until the coming of Christ. Think about this. Jesus said, you are my body, I am the head, my church is my body, Christ filling all of us in all of us. So there's something deposited in all of us that the world needs. Amen. How many of you believe in Jesus? Wave at me. Seriously. Wave at me. Are you a believer in Jesus? Okay. This is what Jesus said about you. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works he will do because I go to the Father. Well, when he went to the Father, who came to us? The Holy Spirit. And he said, you're going to carry out the work that I began to do under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? The first and foremost, though, we need to have a revelation of the scripture we know so well, Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. Amen? The only hope of glory that's going to ever be manifest to this world is that is something that you and I release. Because he has chosen through this covenant to work through us. Hello? Hello? He's chosen to work through us. And that's the way he intends to give his harvest. That's why we have to arise and we have to shine. Amen? Y'all know the verse, Galatians 2:20. You know it? I have been what? Crucified with Christ. It is no longer what? I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives through me. In the life I now live, everybody say now live, now, I'm not talking about future thing. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Hallelujah. Now, I had never read that in the Passion Translation till this week. And I've got to read it to you. Do I have permission? Okay. Because I believe the truth of this verse needs to become a present tense reality in our lives. Now get a hold of this. This is so powerful. My old identity has been co-crucified with Messiah and no longer lives. For the nails of this cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of the new life is no longer mine, for the anointed one lives his life through me. We live in union as one. It will say as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God. He loves me so much, get this now, that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. Is that not powerful? He dispenses his life into mine. Glory to God. How many know the only way you're going to be a diffuser is you got to have something to diffuse? Hallelujah. And he's wanting to do that in life. What are we called? We're supposed to be living filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit of God. Our lamps are to be filled with oil. Amen? It's the lifestyle of true believers and disciples in Jesus. And we need a revelation of this, because I believe with all my heart, Jesus living in and through us is how we too. Now, here I'm going to tie it into where we started today. Because I believe God wants us to aim and shoot. Hello? He wants us to aim prophetically. He wants us to shoot some arrows of destiny. Let me offer you some questions. I'll break this down a little bit more in the weeks to come. But what if we all began to intercede and to prophetically target specific areas for harvest and for breakthrough? I mean, I'm talking about, what does it say when you decree a thing, you decide on a matter? You know, there's a lot of indecision in the church. Because we fall into this thing, well, what case sera sera? What will be, God's sovereign says it's going to happen. And yet when you read the scriptures, you start to begin to realize, no, he needs us to decide on a matter. Hallelujah. We need to make some of you in your own family and people that you know need Christ. We need to start becoming, firing our arrows. Amen? In the spirit. Right? Don't go shoot your brother or your uncle. Okay, don't go shoot him with an arrow. You know, the pastor didn't tell me to do this, and you would come to know the Lord before you died. Anyway. But what if we, in the same way, not only if we had more prophetic aim, because I believe with all my heart, as little as a congregation as we are, I believe God has specific even areas he wants us to start targeting, to going after. People groups, people in need or whatever, just start to target some areas. Can I tell you, I believe if God would open it up prophetically and paint the target, if we would go after it, we would get it. Hello? Or we could talk about, well, I remember when that guy prophesied that we should go over here and here, and he would give us a great harvest, but we never went, then don't stone the prophet. Because nobody ever fired an arrow, nobody ever struck the ground. Are y'all with me? Come on, guys. How many of you need some tenaciousness about winning the harvest? I don't want to give up on this generation. I don't want to see my grandchildren raised in what we're seeing in this current generation that is so godless and far away from God. I don't want to see that. I want to see a move of what we've heard so many years being prophesied. There will be another great awakening spiritually in America. How do you want to believe for that? I believe there's something powerful that God wants to do that will sweep this nation from sea to shining sea again. Amen? And let's believe God for it. Amen? And how many know when God's sweeping a nation with revival, everybody gets brought up in it? Hallelujah! I believe the church is going to be multicultural and diverse and young and old, and people are just going to look at it and go, wow, look what the Lord has done. Amen? I believe that with all of my heart. Anybody believe with me? Say amen if you believe with me. Hallelujah. What if we begin to strike the ground and defeat the enemy in the triumph of Christ? What if we begin to have a tenacity? All God's asked us to do is to enforce his victory. That's all he's asked us to do. He's not asking us to win it again. He's already won it. Amen? I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to the Lord. He's already won the battle. Hallelujah. To begin to prophesy and enforce his victory until it is made manifest. I'm going to challenge you today. I believe it's time for us as Freedomville Church to regain what was lost and refocus on Jesus like never before, and then go forth with purpose and destiny. In other words, focus and take aim and begin to decide on a matter. Because I believe the greatest gift that any of us could give anyone, especially this time of year, we're thinking about gifts. The greatest gift we can give is Jesus. Hello. Hello. That's the greatest thing we could give anyone. I'm not saying, but what if we spent the time, the effort, the finances, giving the greatest gift? Even more so than what we give. I'm not saying don't give the other gifts. Go on and bless me all you want. But what I am saying, how many of us have lost sight and focus of what the greatest thing we can offer to give someone, amen? And the love and power of God. I believe there is a supernatural joy and gladness when we are fruitful and souls are being saved. I'm convinced of that, because what I have found that a lot of times, revivals that kept going a long time, a lot of people were being saved. And then after it became a thing where the people were just playing in the water, so to speak, it was all about them and getting blessed, it tended to wane. And we just talk about, oh, you remember that summer in 19 such and such. And we talk about it. But I believe there's a continuing revival that's coming to the body of Christ at the end of the age. But it's going to be based upon His presence and His harvest. Amen? And that's going to keep us keeping it in drive, keeping it out of park and giving it some gas. And the Holy Spirit's going to supernaturally direct us to places of harvest. I believe that with all of my heart. Anybody want that? Anybody want that? Hallelujah. It is a supernatural thing. Barrenness in the church is a real issue. And you know, when I read the scriptures about Jesus at Christmas time and His first coming, I begin to realize barrenness should never be a part of our DNA. Hello? Barrenness means you just never have any fruit. But Isaiah actually spoke to barrenness. In Isaiah 54, you remember what he said? He said, "Shout for joy, O barren one." You know what the Lord spoke to me? He said, here's the way it's required of you. You have to shout for joy for your fruitfulness before it manifests. You with me? Even when you might say, well, I'll shout when we start seeing people get saved. No, that's not how it works. And we're going to study this probably next week, and we'll look at it a little bit more. But you can read about it in Isaiah 54. But then he says this, enlarge the place of your tent. Now we get over in our suite, you're going to maybe think we did the opposite. But can I tell you today, it's not about brick and mortar. He said, enlarge the place of your tent. Then he says, stretch out your cords. And then he says, strengthen your stakes. And I believe with all of my heart, the Lord is speaking to us very powerful in this very thing. Because I believe that the enlargement is our hearts. Not brick and mortar. We need God to enlarge us. Amen? And then we need to stretch out our cords. God's got us to stretch our cords. But can I tell you, we don't need to do ministry that stretches out cords, but it's not staked to the house of God. Hello? Because that's where a lot of times a lot of evangelism and outreach gets lost. It's not fruit that remains. It's very important for us to be staked down in the house of God. Amen? Committed to the house of worship, committed as the royal priesthood, amen, in our giving, our serving, and all in between. To be committed to the house of God is very, very important. I'll get more into that. But let me ask you this. Why shoot an arrow in a specific direction? Why? Because you have to aim at something. Because if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it. Right? If you aim at nothing, you hit it. And God's asking us to launch our faith and decide on the matter. The last thing I want to share with you, and I'm going to pray over you and I'll release you, because I want you really to take this to prayer and seek God about it, okay? And I want to revisit some of this when everybody's back with us next weekend. Prophetic actions also activate the angelic realm. They activate the angelic realm. I brought to your attention, if you remember, do you remember what the king of Israel said to Elijah? You know what he said? I told you not to forget it. He said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. You remember that? And did you know that's exactly what Elijah said to Elijah when he was taken up into the whirlwind? So Elijah's getting ready to die. And the king says that to him. And then when he received that double portion of the mantle, he also said the same thing to Elijah. The exact, I looked it up. It's the exact words. My father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. Does anybody know who these chariots of fire are? Angels. They're the angel army of God. We're not talking about Israel's natural army. Not at all. And we're not talking about they only come to take His servants to heaven in the whirlwind. Because if you only had those accounts, you might say, these are the angels that take God's servants into eternity. You might come to that conclusion. But I want to close with this, and I want you to get this into your heart today, because it's very important for us to see something here about how it's referring to also the angelic army that surrounds God's servants in spiritual warfare. Are you ready for this? Now, let me set it up for you. If you want to turn to 2 Kings 6, we're going to look at a verse there. But let me set it up for you first. The king of Aram had plotted to surround Elijah. Here's why. was always like Israel was a step ahead of the king of Aram. Every time he would decide to do something, guess what was happening? The Lord was revealing to the prophet what the king of Aram was saying in his bedroom. And when the king of Aram found out about this, he got mad. Because he said, Israel is always a step ahead of us, right? They always know where the puck's going, to quote Gretzky. They always know. And so he sent his chariots and his army in the natural to surround Elijah. Everybody know where I'm going? Everybody know where we are now? So get the point here. Now, Elijah had an armor bearer that would just be his servant that served him in his ministry. And from that, I want to pick up this really quick. These couple of verses here. 2 Kings 6, verse number 15. Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And so he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Hallelujah. And then Elijah prayed and he said, "Oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of what? Horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. How many know they were already there, he just couldn't see them? And the prophet prayed that his servant would be able to see. That's why Elijah wasn't sweating it at all that morning. He knew God had his back. Are y'all with me? Angels surround those who serve the Lord. Amen? He surrounds those who speak his word. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 103, they perform the voice of his word. They carry it out. Are you with me? What did the angel say to John in Revelation? Remember when John wanted to worship him? He said, "Do not do that. We are fellow servants of you and those of you who hold to the testimony of Jesus." When you speak the testimony of the word of the Lord, it gets angelic involvement going in your life. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. We're surrounded today. All the word that's going forth in this place, your life is surrounded if you'll keep the word of God in your mouth. Glory be to God. You're never alone. And he said this to him. He said, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The very essence of the prophetic ministry is based upon proclaiming Jesus. Amen? We are not alone in our kingdom endeavors. We are not alone in our kingdom endeavors. Hallelujah. Somebody tell your face that really good news. All right, thank you. We're not alone. We're not alone. And can I tell you, especially at Christmas, we ought to be holding to the testimony of Jesus like crazy. Like, there's no way I'm going to let that go. Amen? What an opportunity, amen? Do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Here's what I want you to believe with me. Even beginning with this Christmas season and moving into the new year for 2020 vision, I want you to agree with me that we're going to see, as prophesied in the word of God, we're going to see gladness increase in the house of the Lord. Okay? How many of you want to see gladness increase in your life and in your church? Amen? Okay. But that gladness is going to increase because of two things. You remember what they were? His presence and his harvest. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. I want to pray. Now, I want to pray something. And I would say humor me, but I don't want you to humor me. I want you to do it with your heart and do it in faith. But I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to pray a lengthy prayer, but I want you to pray it with me with all of your heart. But I want you to do something of a prophetic nature. How many of you ever had somebody say something like, "I just want you right now just to reach out and grab it"? And you're kind of like, "If it was not there, I'd grab it. It's not there." How many of you know you can't receive it if you don't obey the directives of the Lord? And I said, "Lord, do you really want me to do this?" Everybody relax. I'm not going to ask you to dance or anything. But you can dance if you want to. But I'm going to ask you to do some things. I want you to do it with all your heart. But I want you to do it as a prophetic action. Because if a king could lower a window and shoot in the direction of his enemy, and then the prophet say to him, "That's the Lord's arrow for victory." Are y'all with me? It's about engaging your faith with the kingdom realm. Amen? And when you engage with the kingdom realm, you've engaged with the angelic realm. It already was setting things in motion for the victory that would take place. Anybody ready? So here's what I want you to pray. According to Isaiah 54, I want to pray a couple of things with you today. And I want to ask you just to do some things. And they're not weird. Everybody relax. I'm not going to ask you to go make mud and put it in your eye or anything like that. Okay? But I want you to first do this. Over your natural eyes, I want you to place your hands over your natural eyes. And I want you just to pray with me right now. Lord, I pray. Open my eyes to see, to have revelation. The eyes of my heart be opened in the name of Jesus. Now place your hands over your ears. Lord, today I speak to my spiritual ears. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the voice of the shepherd. Hear what the Spirit is saying to us as a church, that we may have 2020 vision and clear hearing for a time such as this. Now place one hand over your heart, physically over your chest, one hand over your belly, over your innermost being, and pray this with me right now. Dear Lord, enlarge my heart for more of your presence and for the greatness of your harvest, for a great harvest of souls for your kingdom. Heart, be enlarged. Be spacious for all that God has planned. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Now I want you just to stretch your arms out to either side, just as in a prophetic action of reaching out. Some of you may want to do it in front of you. That's okay, whatever you're just comfortable with. But I want you just to stretch your arms, and I want you to just think for just a moment of the reach God's given you, the influence He wants you to have, the sphere you already have where you work, where you go to school, where the people that are in your life right now, the people that are going to be in your life even this afternoon at the restaurant or whatever you do today. I want you just to extend your hands right now and pray with me. Lord, I extend my reach, believing that this is your reach, this is your touch to the lost, the hurting, the afflicted, the dying. I reach in your name, in your grace and mercy. Stretch me, Lord. Now try to stretch further than you already are now. Just even like force your body to go further. Lengthen our reach, Lord. I pray over some of you right now. He's expanding your influence right now. Like, remember when Jabez prayed? He said, oh Lord, expand my boundaries. He asked God to do it, and God did it. Ask Him right now. Every parameter is hemmed you in. Just picture it right now as you extend your hands out. Picture it being moved out of the way right now in Jesus' name. No more limitations, amen? No more limitations of your effectiveness for God to reach the lost and to bring the love of Jesus to others. I don't want you to get tired, but keep your hands out if you can. And I want you to even pray right now to ask the Lord to help you even see at fellowship gatherings among friends and family people that you didn't think you could ever reach, but the Lord's showing you right now, I'm going to use you to reach them right now. How about this Christmas? Amen? How about at that party, the office party coming up next week? Come on. Just extend your hands right now. More, Lord. More, Lord. We want to be your touch. We want to be your touch. Picture right now your hands. If you would now, just take your hands and just hold them in front of you. And imagine these hands having healing power by the Holy Spirit. Would anybody like to have gifts of healings right now? Would you just ask for it right now? I'm not going to even pray. You ask right now. Gifts of healings, Lord. Holy Spirit, that you could touch through me and heal through me. For your glory, Jesus. For your glory, Jesus. That pain would leave bodies and that tumors and growths would fall off in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Say, I will lay my hands upon the sick, and they shall recover in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 I didn't know how to do this one, but if you would, take your right hand like you're holding a steak. Okay? I really prayed about how to do this one. I said, Lord, I want to do this. I just want it to be impactful to your heart and the spirit. And would you just act like you're driving a steak or a spear in the ground? And just kind of stomp your foot when you do it and then hold it. Now pray with me. Lord, I renew my commitment to your house, to your church, to be strong and connected to your body and all that you would call me to do. In prayer, in worship, in serving, in giving, in every area, but mainly in love, in fervent love for my brothers and sisters, as we worship you as the royal priesthood. I am committed. I'm going deep in my commitment. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The last activation. Are you ready? The last prophetic activation. What do you do to get rid of barrenness? You might remember? You shout for joy. You break forth with joyful shouting. And I want to encourage you. I'm going to count to three. And we're all going to shout together. And I want you to shout with as much fervency and tenacity and as long as you want to shout. However, I would just say, the most barren you've ever been, then you just need to really go crazy. Are y'all ready? The faces right now are a Kodak moment. We're all going to do it together. It really doesn't matter. If you're ready to be fruitful, then let's do it together. I'm going to count. I'm shouting with you today, beloved. No more barrenness in Rick Bennett's life. How about it? Are y'all with me? 1, 2, 3. In all directions. Make sure all directions are covered. North, south, east, and the west. Here's what it says in the prophet Isaiah. You ready? Say it with me. The Lord says to the north, give them up. To the south, give them up. To the east, give them up. To the west, give them up. To the glory of Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray for each of you today that the glory of God will begin to rest upon your heart in a mighty way. That you would understand and come into the revelation that you are in union with Jesus. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hallelujah. He's not asking you to do his works without him. You're doing his works with him. And what an honor right now. I pray for some of you for divine revelation to come upon you, even this week and this day, even as you sleep, that dreams and visions will come. And that you will always know, no matter what the battle, no matter what the fight, there is always more with us than there are with the enemy. Amen? Amen. Always there are more. I bless you today. Go under the shadow of his wings today. Encircled round about by his army. And trust God today to lead you. Holy Spirit, we ask you, be our GPS. Be our GPS, Holy Spirit. Put an eagerness in our hearts to share good news. And with no shame. Go and say it with me, shame, leave. All shame, leave. I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed. I'm not afraid and I'm not ashamed of the good news of the kingdom. I will always share it with great joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. praise you, Lord. The Lord bless you all and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon your face. May the Lord be gracious to each one of you and grant you shalom, peace, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.